A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 480. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Noughts and Crosses. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, we are looking at two BBC series based on Mallory Blackman's extremely popular books. Season 1 from 2020 with 6 one-hour episodes, and season 2 in 2022 with 4 one-hour episodes. And the scenario that we are presented with in the book and in this TV show is an alternate history where an African empire controls most of Europe and the British Isles, which is known as Albion in this show. The ruling class descended from Africans are known as Crosses, and the segregated and oppressed Europeans are called Noughts. And we have a very, very divided and unequal society in this show.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And after the events of Series 1, our young star-crossed lovers, Safi from this powerful Cross family and Callum from a poor Knot background, are on the run. They have left London and they are desperate to escape from Albion and find another country that they can run to. But events drive them back into the middle of things and back into London.
Yes, things aren't going well for our young lovers. So badly that Callum has to call upon the Liberation Militia, the LM, for help, which he's very reluctant to take, obviously. And Sophie calls on her family, Kamal Hadley, her father and her mother. By this time in Series 2, I think we can say that Kamal Hadley has achieved his ambition and become Prime Minister of Albion. And this will lead to a certain amount of politics and revolution. And I'm going to say that these two young characters find themselves being used pretty much as political pawns in this continuing power struggle between the ruling Crosses and the oppressed Noughts. It's intense stuff, Brian.
It is. And not only political pawns, but pawns in legal proceedings in some cases too. And we could have had something that was not as intense when it came back in Series 2, but that's not what happened. It is very much still a very intense show through the second series. So one of the literary trends of the last few decades is the expansion of YA fiction, young adult fiction, which has become very popular.
And I'll just quickly add in that it has indeed become extraordinarily popular, but also includes, we can include in there graphic novels and particularly manga as well in this YA category that have been so successful.
Yeah, it's interesting because before, earlier on, there was wasn't really a defined category. You tended to have children's fiction and adult fiction, and there wasn't anything specifically geared at that transitional young adult phase, and we have that much more now. And there's been a quite popular subgenre of dystopian science fiction and post-apocalyptic science fiction, things like that, that we see as part of this YA genre. Things like The Hunger Games and The Maze Runner.
Yeah, there's been quite a few of them. They're very successful.
So Noughts and Crosses fits very much into this genre.
Although we should emphasize, just in case anybody thinks we've got this wrong, we are saying that this is dystopian fiction, not because the ruling class are descended from African people, but because this depicts a very unequal and divided and segregated society based on our own, but flipped around. And I think we can safely say that as fairly liberal people, Brian, both of these we believe are wrong.
Yes, absolutely. And this is, while it's certainly based on lots of things from our real world, what is depicted is quite an extreme version that has lots of sort of apartheid elements and, yeah, is depicted as something that is really quite extreme and problematic.
And of course, this idea from Mallory Blackman is a remarkable device that brings the horrors of segregation and oppressed minorities into sharp relief for us. It smacks us in the face with it, really. And I would say, we've sort of talked about this a little bit in our production notes last time, but the production of this TV version really makes this clear with the depictions of how the African Empire has influenced everything, obviously politics, but fashions, hairstyles, tattoos, music, and of course these ghetto-like townships that the Noughts live in. It's really spectacularly well done, and it's a whole sort of full palette of a society that we're given on this TV version.
Yes, everything from military haircuts being based on African warrior hairstyles to, you know, there was like a military marching band that has African hand drums in it, but also clearly all of the clothing and all of the buildings and homes have a lot of that influence. And we start in the first episode with this devastating opening scene with a white Knot person being brutally beaten by the police, by the Black Cross police. And it's pretty clear it's for very little reason, and it's very severe and very intense.
And I think it tells us very early on about this society that we're watching in this show and about how it is a sort of reflection or mirror version, inversion of our world.
Yes, absolutely. And it tells us that they will not shy away from showing us things that are a reflection of our world and are also very difficult. The television production did change some things from the novels, in particular depicting Callum and Sophie, this, as we're calling, star-crossed lovers couple. They were depicted on television as adults, young adults, but adults rather than the 13-year-olds of the novel. So that's a change there. And there were also some characters were sort of merged into composite characters as well,
which we see happen often in adaptations of books. I'll also note that the second season of the TV show seems to be based on the last few chapters of Mallory Blackman's first book, Noughts and Crosses. It does feature the court case that we've hinted at. I'm going to say that the details of the crimes that Callum is charged with are slightly different from the book to the TV show, but the sort of the way the court case proceeds and the outcome appears to be the same.
Yeah, it is done in a very intense way, for sure. So I think we should get into some of our own thoughts about Noughts and Crosses, more than we already have.
Do you want to start us off, Brian?
Yeah, why don't I start us off?
What did you like about this show?
Almost everything. I enjoyed this a great deal, but I will start off with the look of it, because the influence of African aesthetics and African languages that were, you know, incorporated with certain phrases and so on, at every level, it was done beautifully. It's quite outstanding.
Hats off to the BBC for the look of this show. Every element of the appearance, from the sets, the costumes, the hair, the makeup, everything about it gives us this completely different society, but also makes us think, my goodness, is that how it is in our world? And because even things like the Noughts' homes and the home decor are based on African themes rather than European themes. There's the way that their homes are decorated, the pictures they have on their walls and so on. It's all based on this idea of the African Empire expanding into Europe and into to Albion. It's absolutely fantastic the way they've done it. So many elements in the show, and it's all done beautifully, Brian.
And not only are they applying that influence, this is a world where the United States doesn't exist. So all of the American influences in music, in aesthetics, and other things, they had to effectively remove those or make sure that they didn't have any of those present, which I think was also done very well.
Now, obviously, Mallory Blackman's original concept is fantastic, and we can see why the novels have been so successful. What did you think of the writing and adaptation for the screen here, Brian?
Yeah, so I have not read any of the novels, so it is a little tricky to talk about the adaptation, but I thought the writing was very strong. I thought the storylines and the characters were compelling, and it gave us something where it was always taking the opportunity to make points about the society, that the disparity between crosses and knots was never far away. It was always something that was there.
Yeah, I think it's extremely well written. I think it's fantastic. The tension on screen the whole time, all these different complicated family relations, political relations, relationships across the divide are so well done. It's compelling stuff. I couldn't tear my eyes away from it, basically.
What did you think about the performances?
Everybody's great. I mean, it's so well cast. It's so well acted. Patterson Joseph, hats off to Patterson Joseph. We normally see him in more friendlier sort of good guy roles, particularly in the two shows we've mentioned that he was in with us, Neverwhere and Survivors. But here, as a sort of villain of the piece, and he's great. He is, you know, manipulative, powerful. He's clearly got his eyes on the Prime Minister's job. Fantastic. I thought the whole cast were wonderful, Brian. What about you?
Oh, I would agree with that. The cast are excellent. I'll especially mention Massali Bedouza as Sophie, who has a bit of a harder role because she has to be the privileged person who is learning about what it's like for others and has to be sort of caught between everything. So there are a lot of different things going on there. And she does that and makes it compelling and also makes it an interesting character and makes her an interesting person at the same time. So yeah, lots of good performances in this, and it's not hard to find some standouts.
And there's some special effects, some technical work done. There's obviously a big explosion that I mentioned last time. All of that stuff, you know, you can't fault it. The production values on this show are great. And I'll mention it sounds great as well, Brian. There's some very interesting music used, which is on that soundtrack album we talked about last time. And again, as you say, they've had to do music that is based on African heritage mixed with some European, but no American music.
Yeah, for the music that we see being played or performed within the show, it all has this sort of African influence and very much not the American influences and only limited European influences. That was done really well. The incidental music, I think, does include a little more American influence, but it sets the tone and keeps that those African styles in there. So yeah, very strong stuff on that part of things too.
So our listeners can probably tell that we're enjoying this show. Did you have anything in the negatives column about Noughts and Crosses?
I don't really. We will need to get into some of the issues here, of course, and focus on that a bit more. Do you have any negatives you want to bring up?
Well, I'll just very quickly mention, Brian, this is a slight throwaway, but as you've said, filmed in and around Cape Town, they've cleverly avoided palm trees. It does give us the ghettos and the sort of township look of where the Noughts live, but it is all very sunny.
Yes, that is true.
Britain not known for quite as much sun as we see in this show. But that's just, you know, from where they took it. I don't suppose it was terribly rainy in Cape Town while they were filming. But apart from that, no, I think this show is mostly positives. It's very good of the BBC to tackle this tricky show. And of course, as you say, Brian, it's got big issues that we need to talk about.
Yes, we do. And of course, this is, you know, a couple of white people talking about issues in this. So there's there are limits to how much we can say, but I think it's important that we do talk about it. And I think something that's interesting here is that the allegory in it, while very clear, sort of has multiple angles to it, and that there are things that seem a lot like it's doing an allegory for things we've seen in the U.S., with black and white communities, but there are also things that seem a lot more like the apartheid era of South Africa, and other things that seem more like they're addressing colonial issues of indigenous communities and so on.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. As you say, you've got all these different unfortunate models from our real world and real history that this show looks at, reflects back to us, and says, well, you know, you thought it was bad, but here we're going to show you how bad it really was or is. It smacks you in the face, this show, in a way that I think is positive. I did read somewhere that, you know, the only way to demonstrate privilege to privileged people is to put them in the position of the minorities or maybe the majorities that they are oppressing.
Yeah.
And this show, I think, does that. It shows us exactly what it's like to be a naught in this world and really opens eyes, I think.
Yeah, I hope it does that. It certainly, it never lets it be easy. There's never a point where, okay, now you're finished with dealing with something and these people are going to be free of these issues. It's always there, and it has a real intensity to it that I think is very effective. It, of course, is using role reversal, which is an interesting thing. That's something that doesn't always work well. I've seen things with role reversal doing things for the LGBTQ plus community that has some issues with it. I think here the role reversal works pretty well, in part because we have those multiple things that we are looking at and bringing in allegories for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think the role reversal works so well here. It's, yeah, amazing. Fascinating show.
In this case, I think it's something that works very well. And part of what helps is that they have this historical, you know, alternate history thing they've tied into it that gives you the sense that we're not just moving the pieces around. We're saying this is how we got here, and it reflects how we got here in our real society as well. So because of that, I think it was actually a very effective use of role reversal.
Anything else you wanted to bring up about Noughts and Crosses before we move to our recommendation section, Brian?
I think maybe we should move to recommendations. Do you want to start with this one, Eamon?
I think this is an easy one for our listeners to guess. Here in Region 2, it's on the BBC iPlayer. Watch it. It's terrific. If you missed it when it was first shown, watch Noughts and Crosses on the BBC iPlayer. It's an absolutely fantastic show. Highly recommended by me. And from yourself, Brian?
Yes, I will recommend this highly as well. It is a very strong show. It is not always easy to watch. It confronts us with some difficult issues, but it does that very well, and it does things that are important, and with a lot of very strong elements, from the performances to the writing to the look of it. Very strong piece. So yeah, a strong recommendation from me.
Please get in touch if you've watched it yourself or if you've read the original books and can compare them for us.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Noughts and Crosses introduced us to a world where Europe was colonized by Africa, by this African empire. And we see through role reversal and various kinds of allegory this society where the white Europeans, known as Noughts, are treated very poorly and are in a poor economic position and have limited rights, and where the people of African descent, the Crosses, are very powerful and control all of the power and the economic wealth. And we are introduced to this young couple, Callum, who is a Nought, and Sophie, who is a Cross. And we see a classic star-crossed lovers storyline that brings the inequities in this society, and therefore the inequities in our own society, into sharp relief.
Fascinating show. Please get in touch and let us know what you thought.
Absolutely. Please do.
And please come back to us next time. It's time for Gerry Anderson. You're probably thinking that we've covered most of his shows, but we've still got to get to Four Feather Falls from the start of his career, which has some magical elements that fits it into our genre. It's a 1960 Gerry Anderson show to talk about next time.
Yes, that one is a Western, and it has some magic in it, so something a little different for us. Until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com, and if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. You can also follow us on Threads and on Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both Threads and Instagram.
Please check us out on the social media, and please check us out as part of the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. British Invaders is a proud member of the Voice of Geeks for gaming, streaming, podcasting at vognetwork.com. Tell them Brian and Eamon said hello.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Eamon in England also signing off.